views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to help you create the best life you possibly can at work, at home, and at play. Now, one aspect of this is how you build relationships with other people, especially when it comes to those that you live with. So today, I'm going to talk about a concept that should, in theory, be quite simple, but instead can be a real challenge for many of us. That topic is giving sincere or genuine apologies. Relationships are built on trust, and apologies are a big part of keeping your trust at a healthy level. You're probably going to make a lot of apologies as you go through life. So knowing how to tell others that you didn't intend them harm or that you feel bad for what you've done or what's happened is a communication tool that can have a huge influence on the kind of relationships that you build, whether it be with your kids, your partner, your colleague, your friend, or your neighbor. Part of standing in your power is being able to take full responsibility for your actions in life. In fact, the more responsibility that you take for things, the more empowered you'll feel. One of the tips in my tuck and roll system that I use to help people pick themselves back up and regroup after something really challenging happens in their life is to take full responsibility for what happened. I like to share the example of when I got caught by my jacket on the chairlift and I ended up falling. I was on a ski hill and I ended up falling 20 feet to the ground. Now, it would have been really easy to blame the lift operator since they weren't in the little shack that they're supposed to be in when I got stuck and dragged across this net. But thinking that actually made me feel powerless and afraid that it would happen again. When I shifted my thinking to take full responsibility, I realized that there was actually a lot I could have done differently. Like the obvious thing, I didn't have to tie my jacket around my waist and then maybe it wouldn't have gotten caught. I didn't have to have my camera in my pocket because it turns out that's what actually stuck and held me up there. I could have bought a different jacket. I mean, I bought a really beautiful Rip Zone jacket. That now was part of the problem. I could have even stopped skiing earlier because it wasn't ideal conditions. It was very sloppy and they were getting ready to close down the hill. I could have even chosen not to take my family to the hill that weekend. Now, this is not about self-blame because this is all in hindsight, right? But it's a very powerful feeling that arises when you take full responsibility like this and you start thinking about what did I do that contributed to this situation. So taking full responsibility is the big part to making a great apology. Of course, that's not going to make a difference if you don't recognize when you need to make amends. So that has to be part of the process too. I remember a time when my oldest was in early years at school and he told me that they weren't allowed to talk at all during lunchtime, that their lunch monitors had created this game. They called it the no talking game, and they had to play it every day. And so they weren't allowed to talk. He was pretty upset about it. And I didn't like the idea because to me, kids need time to talk and they already had to sit quietly through class most of the day. So I decided, since I worked at that school as well, that I would pop in and have lunch with him. And sure enough, I got in there and the monitors announced that they're going to play the no talking game and that any person who talked would get their name written on the board. And if they got their name on the board three times, then there was some kind of consequences. And I honestly can't remember what the consequences were. All I know is it didn't seem right to me. So I got up and I said, yeah, this isn't fair, guys. You know, the kids need a chance to talk. And, you know, as long as they talk quietly, it shouldn't be a problem. And right when I was in the middle of this little mini lecture, in walked the teacher. Now, the teacher and I were not close. We didn't dislike each other. We just didn't really click. So, you know, there weren't any warm vibes shooting back and forth between us. So she walks in the room and she's immediately, what is going on here? And I knew in that second that I had been caught doing something that I should not be doing. And so I tried to explain. I could feel my cheeks like going bright, brilliant red and hot. And I realized that I had overstepped my bounds as a parent and kind of crossed the line with, you know, the job that I did at the school. Oh man, I just couldn't get out of that room fast enough. So I went back to my office and I sat there and I thought about it and I thought, okay, I owe her an apology. So about an hour later, I was walking down the hall and she was in her room on prep, which means the kids were all gone elsewhere. And so I just took a deep breath and I walked in and I said, I owe you an apology. Yes, you do, she said. And so I just looked at her and I said, I was out of line. I was wrong. It's not my place to correct your lunch monitors. I'm sorry. It will not happen again. Oh, make sure it doesn't, she said. So I walked out. That was that. It didn't make us friends. But I have to tell you, it did completely clear the air on that account. And I felt way better for having done it. So in the end, a genuine apology often will take less effort than what you might even be doing now, because it has a greater chance of healing a wound or any wound that it created and of not having a backlash. You could tell even from these responses I gave you that this woman was ready for a fight with me, right? And had I used a bad apology and gone in and said, all right, so I'm sorry I did that, but your lunch monitors aren't being fair, we would have ended up having a huge battle. So, what is a genuine apology? In its simplest form, it is telling someone that you are truly sorry and that you take full responsibility for your part in whatever happened. Unfortunately, most of us have learned to justify, blame, excuse, minimize, and to refuse to take responsibility while not even realizing that that's what we're doing. We have learned to use sorry as a tool to demand forgiveness. It's like saying, I said I was sorry, now you need to forgive me. As if sorry is an automatic eraser that fixes what you've done, whether you mean it or not. We've also learned how to use these words to manipulate others by trying to guilt them into forgiving us by saying things like, well, I apologized, but apparently that's not good enough for you. No, you're going to hold it over my head forever now because you're incapable of forgiveness. I mean, you never do anything wrong. Can you hear the manipulation in that? And yet it's not that uncommon of a thing to have happen. We've learned a lot of these bad habits by being forced to say we were sorry when we were young. So let me digress just a moment here and talk about some of the reasons that forcing a person to say sorry is not a good idea. First one, you're actually teaching a person to ignore their own feelings and feel the way you're telling them to feel. For example, if you say, you know what? I don't care if you're angry. You need to say that you're sorry right now. You're telling them to push aside how they're truly feeling and feel this way instead. The other option is you're telling them to lie and say that they're sorry when they're not feeling sorry. They're still angry. They're still hurt. They don't want to say sorry at that moment. It also teaches them that apologies are a tool that can be used to manipulate and avoid difficult situations because they can get someone else in trouble through their apology. They can be used to create guilt. They can even be used to create an indebtedness or an enslavement to another. So forced apologies actually deepen the distrust between the people involved because they can feel the emptiness in it. So it's not rebuilding the relationship or healing it. When you say to someone, you say you're sorry right now and you mean it. That statement right there actually sets you up for a power struggle with your child, because you can't force someone to say something and mean it. You can get them to say something, but the mean it part has to come from the heart. These situations also rob our kids of the opportunity to learn how to make amends for their mistakes. So whether you're a parent, a teacher, if you work in the justice system, or even if you're like a conflict resolution specialist or something like that, it's really a good idea to start noticing this and recognize that our current system of forcing people to say they're sorry is actually broken. It is not effective. We need to change it and start teaching people how to really, truly feel sorry, to be sorry, to show they're sorry. Now, if we have time at the end of the show, I'll share a few tips on effective ways to deal with situations where you would normally force your child to say sorry, and things that you can do, but we'll see how it goes. But for now, let's shift back to talking about the genuine apologies. Here's some examples of common apologies that are pointing blame, minimizing, shirking responsibility, and so on. I'm sorry I yelled at you, but you made me so mad. Sorry I'm late. There was a train. I'm sorry I forgot to stop at the store. Maybe next time you could send me a text as a reminder. Or even, sorry, I forgot to stop at the store. Why didn't you remind me? A little bit of an accusation there. I'm sorry I forgot our anniversary. I've been really busy trying to make enough money to support us. I'm sorry I called you that, but you started it. You might also say, but if the shoe fits, that kind of thing. I'm sorry I snapped, but I'm under a lot of stress lately. What's interesting is that in many cases, people often don't even say they're sorry when they say these kinds of things. And then they think they've made an apology. So they might come in and say, oh, shoot, I forgot to stop at the store. Why didn't you send me a text? There's not even an apology in there. Now, some of the apologies that I just shared aren't bad. Like when you say, sorry, I'm late, there was a train, you've simply apologized and explained all in one. Now, truth be told, the train did not make you late. You did not leave enough time for the train, and as a result, you're late. Now, it could be that traffic was terrible. Maybe there was an accident. They closed the highway. You had a flat tire. So there's all kinds of things that could come up that are part of your explanation. But when you're practicing genuine apologies, you want to take full responsibility for the fact that you're late. So then you're better to say something like, I'm sorry I'm late. I thought I had given myself enough time. You can still give an explanation later about why you were late. I had a flat tire. There was an accident. There's construction, whatever the case is. But in the actual apology, that's really not part of it. So when you give an apology and really mean it, there's no need to explain at that time, just to accept that you have messed up. So with the anniversary apology, you might say, oh man, I can't believe I forgot our anniversary. I'm so sorry. What can I do to make it up to you? With my school situation that I just shared with you, I told her, I owe you an apology. I was out of line and wrong, and it's not my place to correct your lunch monitors. I'm sorry, it will not happen again. What changes when you give a genuine apology is the potential for how it helps heal the relationship between you and the other person. This is huge because remember, we're talking about these apologies from the perspective of relationship building. So let me sum this up with 10 do's and don'ts when it comes to genuine apologies. Number one, don't butt in. Avoid the word but, as it shifts the focus off of you taking responsibility, and it tends to lead to an excuse, a minimization, or blaming the other person. So when you say, I'm sorry I threw away your important paper, but if you took better care of your things, this wouldn't have happened, you're actually minimizing the apology. Number two, do take full responsibility. I've already mentioned this quite thoroughly, but give some thought to what you contributed to the situation and own it. I'm so sorry I ran over your bike. I really wish it hadn't happened. I know how precious your bike was to you. Now, can you feel in that one, the temptation is there to blame them, to say, you know, your bike should not have been behind my car. If you hadn't left it there, I wouldn't have run over it. But we all know that the real truth is your job as a driver is to notice what's around you. So it's not fair to blame them. When we take responsibility, then we're able to leave that teachable moment for later. Wow, we're really lucky there was a bike at the garage sale. Now, how are we going to make sure this one doesn't get run over? Okay. Number three, don't become the martyr. Adding in self-deprecating comments to your apologies, like saying, oh, I'm a terrible person, or I'm a bad mommy, or I'm such a bad wife, I'm such a bad friend. This is actually a guilt-producing tactic that you may have internalized in your upbringing. So in this case, you're trying to avoid taking responsibility by attacking your own character and unconsciously, or sometimes I guess it could be conscious, trying to get them to come to your defense. This is hard on your self-worth as well as damaging to the relationship. And in the end, it isn't even taking responsibility for your actions. Number four, do be sincere. If you're not really sorry at the moment, either avoid apologizing or be honest with them. I realize you think I messed up and I owe you an apology, and you could be right. I'm going to have to think about it a bit more first. Or I don't feel like I have anything to apologize for. Your homework is your responsibility, even when I forget to remind you to do it. So do not apologize if you don't feel sorry for what you have done. You can say, I'm sorry you feel this way, or I'm sorry you think I wronged you, but only when you mean it. Avoid giving empty apologies because it really does weaken the relationship. Number five, don't promise the impossible. I'm sorry I was late. It won't happen again. I promise. People can sense when a promise is not possible, and it has a huge negative impact on trust. Even little kids can sense the impracticality when an adult tells them something like, Mommy will never, ever leave you. I promise. You can tell them, I promise that I would never leave you on purpose. You can say that if you want, but really think about those things because your kids can feel through it. They know it's not possible. Mommy can't promise that. So avoid these kinds of promises at any time in your conversation, and especially when you're making an apology. Number six, do ask how you can make amends. Most apologies would do better with an option to make it up to the other person than a request to forgive. So for example, I'm so sorry I got called into work and I couldn't take you to the zoo like I promised. What do I need to do to make it up to you? And then number seven is don't demand forgiveness. An apology is your way of telling another person you did not intend to hurt. It does not require the other person to accept what you say and does not result in automatic forgiveness. It's not an eraser. If it's forgiveness you need, you could add on, I hope in time you can forgive me. And even something like, I'll do my best to earn back your trust. Number eight, do be prepared with options. Giving some thought to how you make something up to a person and then offering them out as suggestions typically shows true remorse and makes it easier for the other person to accept your apology. So be sure that they're good suggestions and don't put them out there until your apology's been given. So I'm so sorry I forgot our anniversary. I really want to make it up to you. Do you want to hear some ideas of how I thought I might do that? Now, I have a note of caution for this one. The amends need to focus on the needs of the person who has been wronged. So don't offer a massage because you love massages. It must be something of meaning to them. So if you know that they love football, for example, whether you like it or not, a good apology might be to offer to try and get tickets to the football game. This must, of course, be followed by a really strong attempt to get the tickets if they agree. So don't think you could just offer and then just, you know, leave it. Number 9, don't turn apologies into a weapon. Sometimes it's tempting to think giving a good apology makes us the bigger person. So we get frustrated when they don't respond in kind. So maybe they stay angry, or maybe they keep bringing it up or teasing us with it. And as a result, you might feel tempted to strike out at them. Look, I said I was sorry, and I'm getting you football tickets. Now drop it. Or maybe something like, I apologize to you. What more do you want? Or why am I the only one who apologizes? You were just as wrong as I was. So when we do those things, we actually make it blow up a little bit. You don't get to decide how long it takes another person to move on. However, you can bring it up at a later time in casual conversation by saying something like, you know, I've noticed that when I make a mistake and apologize, you keep bringing it up after as a joke or reminder. I kind of find that hurtful. It's like I'm being punished for something I've already apologized for. Is that your intention? So something like that lets them know that you don't like that, that that doesn't feel good. And if, you know, they're a great person, they might turn around and apologize to you. All's fine. Number 10, do keep it short. Most genuine apologies can be given in one or two very short sentences. I'm sorry I was late. Next time, I'll give myself extra time for trains. Or, I apologize for forgetting to stop at the store. Can we make it through the night without milk? I'm sorry I yelled at you and said what I did. I was hurting and I struck out. Please give me a chance to make it up to you. It's unfortunate that we have been so thoroughly trained in how to give insincere apologies that many of our laws actually even teach us to shirk responsibility, to point blame at others, and to refuse to take ownership for our own evolution. It's critical that we learn to empathize and to feel remorse when we do something wrong. And unfortunately, that can happen when we're blaming others for our mistakes. A person who feels no remorse is a very scary person because they have no reason to care whether or not they hurt someone else. So if you aren't already, try using genuine apologies and notice how powerful and positive it makes you feel. Now, I promise to give you a few extra tips that you can use instead of forcing your child or student to tell the other person they're sorry. So here are 3 tips to keep in mind. The first one, ask the offender if they hurt the other person or did whatever they did on purpose. If they say no, then you can move into what do you think you can do to make up for it. I'm going to explain more about that part in a moment. But if they say yes, you might ask, do you regret that decision now? They say no, they might need more time to think about it. Or you might even have an undesirable consequence that is ready to put in place if that's the route that they choose to go. You might even ask them to just go and think on it for a little bit. You can also use this next idea to help them start to shift towards feeling more sorry. And that is to point out the benefits of the relationship and why they might not want to lose it. So to say, you know, your brother is the only person that you're going to have to play with when we go on holidays next week. If you treat him this way, he probably won't trust you. So something that makes them tune in and think about the other person. If you're a teacher and it's a student, and that student seems like they'd be a good leader, right? Because they're always in charge. You can say to them, you know, you strike me as a person who's going to be a leader through his whole life, which means one day you'll probably be the boss of many people. You're going to need to be able to get along with all kinds of different people if you want to be successful at that. This would be a good time for you to start learning how to do this. That gets him thinking from that rather selfish perspective, but whatever it takes to get him thinking about why he needs to make it up to the other person. And that's the third tip. Ask them if they can think of a way that they can make it up to the other person. I always say show that you're sorry, don't tell. So if they say, I could say I'm sorry, I say, well, that's nice, but how are you going to show them that you're sorry? Now, depending on your child's age or maturity level, you might ask them, do you want me to help you come up with a way you might make it up? But if you do this, resist the urge to simply outline what they should do and instead brainstorm with them different things they might try. So don't just sit there and say, you could do this, this, this. Allow them not to be sorry until they're ready. Few people are sorry when they're angry. It's only once those powerful feelings recede that they realize they might have overreacted. This is both an important thing for them to learn and to process. It takes practice, but it can make a world of difference in the kind of relationships that child builds with others and will provide them with skills that will definitely assist them throughout life. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.